Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our heart and open up our souls and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Good evening and welcome to News for the Soul. That's life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. I'm your host, Nicole Whitney, and my guest this full hour is Fred Burks. Some of you may have already heard of his work. His website, main one anyway, is called... Oh, my. We've got a bit of background noise. Just ignore that. Talk amongst yourselves for a moment. It scared the pieces out of me and went right out of my seat. Okay. I've gone right into fear. Let's move that along. Now, it's actually interesting that that did come up, though, because we are talking about subjects today that can be thought of as fearful, interpreted that way. We have often covered these subjects for the last decade, probably on News for the Soul. Conspiracies, cover-ups, that sort of lovely stuff. But we do it from a place of self-empowerment and an end to duality. So we have found somebody who's like-minded that we're going to be talking to that's done a lot of the research on this as well, has put together a lot of documented information on his website. One of his main websites is wanttoknow.info, know as in knowing, okay. And he's got a lot of great information on there. We're going to be talking about that, his story as a former presidential interpreter who resigned, quote, because of excessive secrecy demands, close quote, in 2004. So we're going to find out his story. Fred Burks is here. Welcome to News for the Soul, Fred.
Thanks, Nicole, and thanks for having me on the show. It's great to have all of our listeners with us.
I was very excited reviewing some of your information on your website today, and I love how you also have approached this topic, from the standpoint of love and empowerment.
Absolutely. I wouldn't even be doing it if it left people in feeling fear or anger.
Which is, the initial reaction sometimes you can, when you first discover this information, go, what do you mean the world isn't what I thought it was? What the hell is going on? Your initial reaction can be overwhelming. So it's good to have, this kind of information and support out there. So let's talk about you for a minute and where your story started. How did you end up being a presidential interpreter?
Well, let me say that actually it all starts with my deep intention, which I've had since I was a teenager. And my deepest intention in life is to do what's best for all of us. And that is my guiding force. And even along those lines, I want to invite in all of our guides, guardian angels, who can be here to support us, even as we talk with each other and share with the listeners, and asking for guidance towards what's best for everyone here and for all of us. And that intention has just brought many, many, many miracles into my life through the years, and it brought me to Indonesia, a place I'd never even heard of, where I ended up living for a year with a wonderful Muslim family, 20 people under one roof. And then I came back and eventually ended up, another sort of miraculous story that's too long to tell, working at the State Department as a language interpreter in the Indonesian language. And then, without even trying, got moved up the ranks. And next thing I knew, not next thing I knew, but a number of years later, I found myself being the top Indonesian interpreter for the State Department. So it's been quite a journey. And then, of course, as an interpreter, I saw a few things, as you might imagine, that were quite interesting in some of these secret meetings. And also, it's not just my interpreting. I've had deep spiritual paths for my entire life, and all sorts of people come in at special times and give me just the right information at the right time. And I actually started learning about all of the major cover-ups only 6 weeks before 9/11. And before that, you would actually call me a debunker. Anybody who was talking about these big, huge conspiracy theories, I'd say, no way. But then I learned some key information in, like as I said, 6 weeks before 9/11 that completely opened my eyes and put me on a whole new path. So it's been quite an exciting journey.
9/11 woke a lot of people up in itself, the absurdity on the news. I mean, the stories were silly, flat out. And it was the first time it sort of became obvious to many in the masses that, you know, the official stories were crap. So, but that's another story.
It is. Yes.
And on that note, just the funny little stories that you must have acquired at meetings must be just amazing. How does that work with you being able to, like, are you allowed to talk about things without... you know, them coming after you?
Sure. Well, you know, it's really kind of funny because all of my time there, I worked 18 years at the Department of State, and I was a contract interpreter, as almost all of their interpreters are, because we'd be gone for a month and then back home for a month, so we weren't salaried, but rather on contract. And, I was never sworn to secrecy on anything, which might seem crazy since I was literally, you know, sitting right next to George Bush a number of times and in meetings with Bill Clinton, and you'd think, why don't they swear these guys to secrecy? And if you'd asked me, I would say, yes, I think we need to be sworn to some level of secrecy. But then what happened is it all changed, and suddenly they wanted to swear us to secrecy, but it was just crazy the degree to which they were going to force me to keep secrets. Basically, anything in the contract that I had would have had to sign, it said, anything that I see, hear, or do in the course of my work, I cannot share with anyone for the rest of my life without written permission from my superiors. And that's just crazy, because I can tell you I've had many amazingly, deeply moving stories with some of the great people I've interpreted for that I love sharing with others that have absolutely nothing to do with national security, and are deeply inspiring stories. And, you know, even like simple jokes and, you know, even calling home and telling people where I'm at, I could not do that according to this new secrecy agreement. So we had a whole, I told them that I was not going to be able to sign it, and they were going to try to keep me, but in the end, word came down from on high, and they said, no, everybody has to sign it. And that's when I said, okay, I got to quit. So I'm free to talk about anything I saw.
So it's odd that it was one extreme to the other with no agreement to can't say anything ever.
Yes, and unfortunately, you know, the government often is that way. The government is a huge bureaucracy. And let me just mention that many people say, how could they ever pull off 9/11? Because it's a huge bureaucracy. And it's a very good question. They're incredibly inefficient. But what people forget is that the military and the intelligence services are incredibly hierarchical, incredibly well organized, and if your superior says, do this, you say, yes, sir, and you go and do it. And so it wasn't that the government itself necessarily was behind 9/11, but the intelligence services and the military, key individuals there, and only a few key individuals, I believe, were involved in manipulating things that happened there.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. But before we do, how do you personally maintain the intention to not go into fear and overwhelm with this information that we're about to talk about?
Yeah, well, this is absolutely vital to me. And as I said, I would not even do this website if I felt it left people in a place of fear and anger. Basically, I know in my heart deep down that every being on this planet, every person on this planet has a place in their heart that just wants to love and be loved. That we, every one of us has that place in our heart, and when we remember that and focus on supporting that place in all beings, that we can transform everything. And that basically my own personal belief is that there is a collective consciousness on the planet made up of the collective awareness of all humans who live here. And that this collective consciousness is more pretty much what causes the consensus reality that we live in. And so when we suppress things in the collective consciousness, they're going to show up in very strange ways and show up as strange distortions like even 9/11. And so I don't see 9/11 as being some, yes, it was a terrible event. It's very unfortunate that thousands died and many suffered. Yet, I can understand the deeper spiritual reasons behind it. Because basically, pardon my language, but humanity needed a kick in the butt to get out of this kind of a rut that people were not really willing to do their spiritual work. And so, and I'm exaggerating a bit here, but I think I'm getting my point that there is a reason behind all of this. And if we understand that, we don't have to get angry and upset with the people who did it. We have to look at working on ourselves, working on the collective consciousness. And yes, we need to stop the behavior, the disempowering behavior of these people. But it's not about, you know, getting back at them or vengeance or anything like that. That love is what's going to transform it all. And that's what's most exciting to me.
That's, you know, that's very in alignment, much in alignment with what we've talked about on News for the Soul for a decade with, believe it or not, David Icke. You know,
sure.
Bottom line of his message is, you know, love.
Absolutely.
Out of it, but knowing what's going on so you know what you're breaking out of,
mm-hmm.
asleep. So.
And I'd like to mention just quickly, at the same time I've been developing the wanttoknow.info website, and we have a team that works on it, but I've been the main person pretty much up till now. We've been also developing several other websites which are very much focused on love and empowerment. And in fact, some of your listeners might really enjoy taking a look at a website, www.weboflove.org. And it's got some wonderfully empowering, inspiring exercises and lots of great stories. And it's filled with all sorts of just love and empowerment resources. And so that is kind of a balance to wanttoknow.info. And it's kind of funny because, you know, you're talking about duality, and in a kind of a way, we've got several love and empowerment websites, and then we've got the cover-up websites, and there is some interlinking going on there. But basically, we understand that many people tend to fall in one or the other of these camps. And so we want to reach both, and then eventually, as they go deeper into the websites, they're led, the people who are more focused on love and empowerment are led to see that there is, it is important to understand the shadow side. And then the people who are deep into the shadow side eventually are led to see, oh, but we've got to also focus on love and empowerment. So there we believe there has to be a balance there as well.
Absolutely, and that's the bottom line. I mean, I've asked a lot of people over the years, you know, what the heck is the bottom line as far as what we do as conscious people making a conscious choice, you know,
mm-hmm.
In response to this? Like, how do we transmute this?
Absolutely.
And always, 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 bottom line agreement has been working on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Transform the energy on the planet. So that seems to be a across-the-board agreement, and it was refreshing also to see that on your website.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably the true balance to balance out the crap.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
That's,
yep.
That's probably the normal ratio, a bunch of good websites to balance out the one
right.
website. That's probably a scientific ratio in there. But let's talk about now that we've kind of covered that initial thing, because I don't want to lose anybody into the darkness here as we plod forward. But
mm-hmm.
let us go cautiously forward into the story about how you said about 6 weeks prior to 9/11, you had your own kind of awakening,
yeah.
epiphany moment.
Absolutely. It was awakening to the major cover-ups. I had my spiritual awakening long before, but basically, I have a wonderful spiritual friend who lives in North Carolina, who somebody I highly respect, and he sent me an email saying, Fred, I watched this video, and it changed the whole way I view the world, and I really think you need to watch this. And I said, well, go ahead and send it to me. And so he did, and I put the video into the player, and as I said, this was like late July, 6 weeks before 9/11. It was a two-hour video. Some of your listeners may be aware of it. Disclosure Project, Dr. Stephen Greer, did a National Press Club presentation where he had 22 top government and industry and military people talking about a huge cover-up of UFOs. And the fact that there were 22 people, each of them sharing their personal experience of a huge cover-up around UFOs, and some very deep information that was easily reliable and verifiable, much of it. By the time this two-hour video was done, my jaw was on the floor, and I'm sitting there stunned and going, oh my God, the world is not what I thought it was. And so that was my awakening, and I said, well, if they're lying about this, what else are they covering up? And so that set me on a quest, before long, I'm pretty good at getting connected to the right people at the right time. You know, spirit works in magical ways to bring them into my life, and before long I was getting amazing amounts of information about all sorts of things flowing in. And you know, in fact, once I started collecting all this, not just about UFOs, but then I started finding out about 9/11, a huge media cover-up about mind control, which is one of the most disturbing areas. And once I got all of this, I said, boy, I hope somebody on the internet has a really good website that is well-made, that goes from an angle of providing reliable, verifiable information. And I was really hoping somebody was doing this because I didn't want to do it. So I did a careful search and I couldn't find anybody. Now, there were people doing, for instance, one of these. Like, there's some great 9/11 websites. There's some really excellent, you know, mind control or media websites. But nobody was covering all of this, particularly from the aspect of transformation. And, you know, there were people out there like David Icke, who, you know, I have a lot of respect for, and yet there's so much fear in some parts of his website. And also, he does not always use the most reliable sources. So there's a lot of stuff on his site that is, you know, anybody who's skeptic is going to say, you know, how can I know that? And so I said, nobody else is doing it. All right, I'm going to do it. And, you know, luckily I have a great connections and great support group that... And these days the website has gotten quite popular. We're definitely one of the more popular sites that out there that does this. And so I have people contact me, insiders contacting me all the time saying, well, you want some information? I mean, they don't say it that directly. Almost always it's kind of innuendo, which I know how to read, and say, well, tell me what you know, and we'll end up on the phone, and I get some personal stories that are just wow. And so it wasn't really something I was planning to do at all.
Oh, I can relate to that story.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's interesting. I, as you were talking, we did talk to Stephen Greer a long time ago, and that certainly was a prolific awakening for many, I think, in reviewing. He was actually out here just before 9/11 as well,
mm-hmm.
doing a presentation in Vancouver, and we met him out there and saw the video and the compelling testimony.
Oh, yes, quite compelling.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just brush it off.
No.
The typical kind of flaky, you know, guy in a pickup truck, yes.
When generals and, you know, the chiefs of defense in England are saying there's a huge UFO cover-up, when you find a New York Times article, which, by the way, we have a link so that you can see it right on the New York Times Archives website, where the former chief of the CIA says there's a huge cover-up of UFOs going on, it needs to be opened in the New York Times.
Oh, exactly.
You know, Greer had all that information.
Exactly, and that's what's really good about the work you're doing. Like you say, you have, you know, really hardcore verifiable links. So
that's our specialty, right?
And so that certainly leads tribute to this kind of work. So very important. It's interesting that just happened just before 9/11. I hadn't sort of made that connection personally.
It is quite interesting,
isn't it?
Yes. Well, Greer will tell you he thinks that some of the reason they needed to do that, something like that quickly, is because his movement was starting to gain momentum. And, of course, 9/11 in many ways shut down a lot of interest in that. I don't know that that's true, but it could be.
Well, it's an interesting question. And then, of course, 9/11 was, as we touched on before, was just silly.
Mm-hmm.
Coverage and the stories that didn't add up at all.
Oh, anybody who's willing to take a look at the reliable evidence... You know, And just so you know, you may have had this experience. We know of people who've looked at this evidence and says, you know, this is really solid, verifiable information, and I just cannot accept that the government would do something like this, and so I'm just going to shut it out of my mind, almost in those words.
Well, that's the thing, because it is so... I mean, there's so many conspiracies out there. There's so many...
Yes.
So many theories, and so it's been, you know, we've been conditioned to dismiss anything, and we're all wackos.
But mm-hmm.
having this conversation, we're officially wacko in the mainstream.
Right.
And yet, you know, there's too much, as you say, official information. I mean, not only that, but we're talking to a conscious community.
Yep.
I mean, I was standing there on 9/11 as this was going down, literally, and saying, wow, like I had no question in my mind that what I was watching was complete fabricated crap.
Mm.
I mean, there was no, in my higher guidance system, intuition, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
the conscious part of me, you know, not the thinking part that was trying to make me shut, you know, to shut
right.
up.
Right.
Make that part shut up and not talk about it and go away.
Mm-hmm.
But that conscious part absolutely knew.
Mm.
And that's, I think, you know, across the board, what the kind of feedback we've had over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And with respect to anything. So we're not talking about the typical kind of conspiracy theory, blah, blah,
right.
blah.
No.
We're talking about intelligent human beings intuiting that something ain't right.
Yes.
You know, and then starting to do this research. And the research is compelling.
Oh, the research is great. And just so you know, in the 9/11 community, I'm in touch with many of the top leaders in the 9/11 community. There's pretty much a consensus these days. It's no longer about the evidence. We have, you know, just tons and tons of evidence. We don't need more evidence. It's about dealing with the psychological and emotional and spiritual blocks that people have to opening up to the possibility of this level of manipulation. And I'm so thankful that we're much more focused on that aspect now, because I believe on all the major cover-ups, that is the most... The angle with the most potential to really open people's minds, if we look at helping them to prepare themselves emotionally, spiritually, and otherwise for this information.
Wait, why do you think we're being lied to on such a wide scale?
I just touched on this briefly before, but I really believe it has to do with the collective consciousness. There's a way we were getting very comfortable with our lifestyles and thinking, you know, about getting so sucked up into the consumerism society. And, you know, I can tell you the way to this day people are with their money, and they were in the past then. You know, there's people are not in deep integrity. I mean, still, so many people, they hear about a way, oh, I can make a lot of money by doing this. And if you follow that, it's going to lead you to some important spiritual lessons, and I don't think it's necessarily going to lead you to abundance. A few will get there, but I have found so clearly that when I follow my heart and do my best not to move from a place of looking for money, that's when the magic happens. And so I think that the complacency was so thick that 9/11 was almost called into being, as I said, to give us a kick in the butt to really start looking at, wait a minute, what's really important in life here? Do I really need those two cars? Do I really need to be doing this multi-level marketing thing, which, you know, I think is a pretty good project, but it's not necessarily that great, or whatever?
You know, I think that's the nutshell version of what's driving this kind of conscious evolutionary crowd, is knowing that they have to be, that you can't hide any level of you,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be fully, wholly integrity,
mm-hmm.
for anything to work, that you have to be on purpose, that, you know, anything that is less than that will not last.
Well, particularly these days where I think many of us are experiencing that our lives are almost accelerating on a spiritual basis. And if there are places where you're not in full integrity, almost certainly you're going to get some good challenges that are going to give you fertile ground for exploring that and hopefully transforming it so that you can move on to the next level.
So you're saying essentially then, in a nutshell, 9/11 and anything else like it, anything where we're shadow
mm-hmm.
stuff is going on and we're being lied to on any mass scale or
mm-hmm.
anything, it's our shadow.
Yes, it's our own personal shadow in combination with the shadow of the collective consciousness. That's how I look at it, even though you're not going to find that on the wanttoknow.info website, by the way, because we're talking basically about a sort of a mystical, spiritual underpinning of everything, and the website doesn't go into that. Because most people aren't ready for that level.
I know. This is why we're addressing the News for the Soul audience now, and that's where they live.
Yes, and that's what I'm very appreciative, Nicole, by the way, of you inviting me on the show, because I feel like I can talk about things that I can't talk about even with some of my own good friends. And I know your listeners are very open-hearted people, and it's really great to be able to share this information.
Well, we have an amazing audience of seven countries around the world now.
Yay, that's great.
Absolutely wonderful.
People are waking up all over, and that is quite exciting.
It is. And, I mean, I've had, just this week alone, I've had email from Iraq, Cyprus, Seoul, South Korea. I mean, just, you know, it's getting very fact.
Yes.
So it's, but it's definitely a sign of where things are at and how they're evolving, I think, because people across the board, too, like they're, you know, they want to get to the causal, the real causal stuff.
Yes,
not
that's
the
right.
Sort of surface level, you know, George Bush is an idiot. I mean, we need to get beyond that kind of level of thinking.
Absolutely.
Conscious cause, the causal cause. So.
Right. And, you know, at some point, I just want to let you and others know that we're developing a wonderful new website, which is not ready for full launch yet. And it's transformationteam.net. And right now there's only three web pages up there, but it gives you just a real brief glimpse of what's coming. But we're developing it. It's basically going to be a community portal for anybody who considers themselves to be here as part of the transformation team. In other words, a key reason that you're here in this lifetime is help transform the planet. And it's going to be a way for those people to come together, to interact with each other, to even go to a Google map and click on the city that you're in and say, give me all transformation team members within a 10-mile radius. And you will see who they are, and you can email them and invite them over to your house for a potluck. Yeah, and it's quite exciting. We've got an incredible internet genius working on this with us. So it's not ready for launch yet, but you can get an idea of it at transformationteam.net. And it will be very exciting for a lot of people in the audience here, I'm sure.
So what do you think is going to come out of that as far as, you know, purpose, next level up of purpose? What's going to happen with that?
Well, you mean with the transformation team or? Well, see, I'm very excited because I have not seen, there are a bunch of great groups coming together doing some of this kind of stuff. I don't know if you or our listeners are familiar with ZADZ, Z-A-A-D-Z dot, I believe it's dot net. Anyway, if you just Google Z-A-A-D-Z, they've got a community.
MySpace, sort of.
Yes, a very conscious MySpace, and it's basically for social progressives, people who are into transformation and love. And yet, I would say that about 20% of humanity, maybe even 25%, can really resonate with that. We're actually setting the bar much higher and saying this is specifically for people who know that every one of us is a divine being, and that it's when we support every one of us in that place of divinity, in that divine essence, that's where we transform. So that's kind of the bar we're setting, that it's going to be a natural selection process where people who are looking to find people to blame are not going to be interested in this website. So it'll be even a higher level than ZATS, and it's going to be really fun. We have a bunch of people excited about it already. So our hope is that then there will be groups forming on the website, and it's all going to be reader-run. Once it's all set up, we're hoping the people that are working on it right now that we will back off, and it will be taken over by the community, and the community will decide how it's going to develop further. But you'll be able to set up a group. Let's say you are into, let's say even mind control, which is a very deep sort of scary subject. You can have a mind control group that has discussions online and shares information and then talks about how the mind control technologies can be used for transformation, which is something a lot of people don't explore when you explore mind control. The same technologies that are used to disempower people and create Manchurian candidates, super spies, and all that kind of thing can also be used for transformation. So we can have a group on this website that meets regularly where there's forums, there's all sorts of things. And you can also call meetings nationally. Say, everybody in the transformation team who's into this mind control phenomenon, let's get together at such and such a place and do it inexpensively but very powerfully. So that it's basically going to be an incredible networking tool And there are more and more networking tools, but we're hoping this one will be another one that will be very, very easy to use and inviting and inspiring to those who are members of the transformation team.
Yeah, I've been at a few very transformative personal development seminars over the years, and I've had those realizations in those moments going, you know, if these guys were evil, I'd be in so much trouble right now. Because you're really vulnerable and you're changing, right? You
yes.
have to go down to those levels. So I've had that same feeling, like, yeah, let's use the techniques for the power of good to overcome, you know, the non-conscious part.
Absolutely.
It's one subject I haven't gotten much into personally, or certainly not on the show, even with David Icke in the past, but mind control. Why, now that we've covered, you know, the conscious aspect here, I think we've laid a really thick foundation to stand on
mm-hmm.
and move forward. So what kind of research have you done in that area of mind control?
Well, anybody who's interested, I invite you to go to wanttoknow.info. And you'll see at the top of the page there's categories that you can place the cursor over, and then there's a drop-down menu. And one of the categories is mind control. And we have a mind control information center. We have a two-page and several 10-page summaries of mind control and various aspects of mind control. We have incredible mind control videos. In fact, History Channel came out with an awesome 60-minute documentary titled Mind Control, America's Secret War, which amazingly, you think about it, History Channel did a great job of revealing some of the deep underbelly of what's going on there. And our two-page summaries also have links direct to the government documents so that you can view the actual documents where they say how the Manchurian candidate was developed, the reasoning behind these programs, and just so that people understand, it was well known even shortly after World War II that the Soviets and the Chinese were far advanced of the United States in mind control, and that our intelligence services and military were infiltrated by Manchurian candidates, which means that it's a spy who doesn't even know they're a spy. And so Alan Dulles was one of the chief architects of the mind control programs. He's the former chief of the CIA at the time. And he eventually had to testify because, of course, they're doing things that were quite unethical, in fact, quite illegal at times, quite well known about that. And when he was asked in 1977 in front of Congress why he did this stuff, he said, there is no answer to the ethical question. The Soviets and the Chinese had already infiltrated our groups. We had to do this. And so I think it's important to say, you know, these are not evil people out to control the world, although we can certainly there is an argument for that, I'll say, but I think it gets exaggerated too much. So trying to understand the reasoning behind the development of these mind control programs is just as important as trying to understand what went on and how the abuses happened.
So, but is that kind of work still going on?
Sadly, yes. Now, I'll tell you, like, I have one of my favorite informants, I have a number of, as I said, insiders, informants, is a guy named Charles Villar, who's the head of the Center for Intelligence Services. And he was deep cover CIA for 25 years. And he's given me tons of information. And basically, yes, these programs are still going on, but what you find out is that within the intelligence community, within the military, and within the shadow government, there are factions fighting against each other all the time. And these factions sometimes are fighting for power, but some of these factions are more self-serving than others. And some of the factions are much more interested in some form of transformation. Maybe not to the level that you and I are talking about, but they realize that things are screwed up and we really need to make some shifts. While other parts are more kind of like neocon-oriented, where they're really wanting to have definite, clear control from the top. And these factions are fighting with each other, and all of them have access to these mind control technologies. All of them have their own Manchurian candidates. Sometimes they're even sending Manchurian candidates into each other's camps to try to figure out what's going on. So one of the things I try to make clear to all people is that it's very, very complex, all of these cover-ups and how they happen. It's not just that there's this small evil group of white men, you know, making all the calling all the shots. It's very complex.
So, do you have any theories on that from your research, as far as who is calling the shots and behind?
Well, I'll tell you, I've done quite a few interviews and talks, and this is a question I love to get, and I almost always get. It's like, who's really behind it all? And I definitely have a clear answer to that, and we've touched on it briefly already. The answer is you. Every one of you and me and all of us. I really believe on the deepest levels, it's our own places where we're covering up parts of ourselves, where we're not really willing to look into the deep, dark, scary spaces inside of ourselves, both individually and collectively. That's what's causing all of this, and that's what drives those factions that are fighting against each other. And I know I'm out on a limb here. I'm talking deep, mystical interconnectedness, but that's where I come from, and that's what I have to talk about.
Well, again, that's where we live over here at News for the Soul. So.
But I know, I just want to say that I want to respect that many of our listeners probably don't come from that place, and I don't believe, I'm not trying to convince anyone of this. And in fact, this, as I said, this information is not on wanttoknow.info at all. There you'll just find reliable, verifiable information. And yet when I'm talking to an audience that is quite open in this area, I do believe it's important to talk about these things and let people just listen and make up their own minds.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, saying it is one thing, and getting a statement like that, really, you know, and employing it in one's life is quite another ride. I mean,
absolutely.
That's the whole journey of the consciousness community anyway.
And it's my personal journey, and I know you also do it, Nicole. I know you do a lot of work on yourself.
Absolutely. And most people that listen are listening, you know, in some cases hours a day, because they're doing the same thing. They're peeling off the layers of the onion, going through every, you know, as things come up to clear or be unveiled so we can work on them in ourselves. You know,
absolutely.
That's the consciousness and the evolution that we're on. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I too have sort of held, I think I hold the theory that if people are waking up everywhere, they're waking up within these groups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Organizations. So.
Yes, and believe me, some of them are having near-death experiences, which then totally shift their consciousness and coming back and then doing amazing things. There's so many wonderful, exciting things going on, even in those cabals.
What was you must have great stories about that. Where
many.
I mean, can you share some of those, like where you go into this, you know, presidential thing expecting something and spirit is there, you know, consciousness is there.
Right. Boy, there's so many stories I could share. Let me just say a strange one, try to do it somewhat briefly. The last major meeting I was at with George Bush was, I believe it was September 2003 in Bali. And at that time, wanttoknow.info was up and running. We had a good subscriber list. I'm going to guess somewhere between 600 and 1,000 subscribers. And what I would do then when I was meeting with the president is I would send it out to my list at such and such a time, I'm going to be in there meeting with George Bush. Please join me in focusing all of our energies, and I'll act kind of as a conduit or a channel, to touch George Bush and all of the other leaders present in their heart, in that divine place, and ask them to open up to what's best for all of us, and even to send love to that place in their heart. And because I had done this several times, the subscribers would then send it out to their friends. And of course, some of them sent out to their friends, and by the time of that last time I had a meeting with them, we had thousands of people joining in. And I had a number of magical experiences happen that time. Quite amazing. I can't go into them all, but basically one of the coolest things, it was 4 hours worth of meetings. And after the sort of official first business meeting, which lasted about 45 minutes, we went to a luncheon, which was like an hour or so. As we walked into the luncheon room, and I'm standing sort of by the table, and they're all coming in, and George Bush walks in, and as he walks up to the table, he looks at the table, he looks at me, and he said, "They didn't bring you any water." And believe me, as interpreters, you need water, because you're talking all the time. Particularly in that meeting, the Indonesians usually have interpreter, and they didn't, so I was talking all the time. But the fact that the President of the United States would look at the table and notice that they didn't bring me water, that is amazing. And I truly believe that had something to do with all of these energies coming in, and I think they felt them. And at another point, there's the woman who's the Asian affairs expert on the National Security Council, who was a friend of mine, Karen Brooks. She was the one who got me doing some of this stuff. And she came up to me in the middle of the meeting. And believe me, she's involved in all these deep manipulations, too. She's not necessarily somebody who's out to transform the planet. But she came up to me in this meeting. There was a little break or something. And she plants a kiss on my cheek, like a two-second kiss, right in front of everybody. And I'm going, what? I mean, these are just, and there's so many things like this. But it's like, whoa. So I really believe that they are receiving that energy big time. Now, even though it may look like, you know, people say, well, what good has it done, right? They're still there doing all this stuff. But I believe that the Bush and Cheney and all those people, they are playing out a vital role in the awakening that needs to happen. If they weren't pushing it so far, then people would become lazy and complacent. And I'm not saying I condone in any way the disempowering behaviors, the deaths and suffering that they've caused, but I'm saying that there's a way that we are all causing these things. And the way we're going to transform it is when we come together and say, it's not about blaming anyone. It's about finding out what's really going on, which is why we say want to know, you know, the website wanttoknow.info, that we do want to know, and then working to transform the ugly parts. We've all got those ugly, scary parts in ourselves. And when we're willing to acknowledge that and work with it, that's when, you know, the real powerful transformation comes, not only in our own lives, but in the planet.
Well, that's the thing. It's again, that big leap from, you know, really realizing the interconnectivity of it all. How do you, I mean, what do you do personally to transform it?
Well, I'll tell you, the key thing for me was getting in touch with some of my core wounding or my core issues, or maybe a better way to say is core challenge. And basically, if you go to any of the websites, the two main websites I manage right now are wanttoknow.info, which is sort of the cover-up aspect, and from the deep love aspect, webofloveof.org. But we also have momentoflove.org and inspiringcommunity.org, several others. On all of the websites, if you look in the left-hand column where there's a number of links, down a little bit you will see Transform Fear as one of the links. And if you click on that link that says Transform Fear, it's the title on the page is Transform Fear Through Core Issue Work. And by getting in touch with what our core issues are in each of our personal lives, and it's going to be different for different people, and becoming more aware of that and then exploring the origins and exploring how I can transform that personally, that's where my work is. And my core issue is arrogance. From a very young age, I believed I was better than everybody else. I had this mind that could be judgmental of everybody from the point of, I could be better than you. And like anybody who's teaching me, it's like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. And so that arrogance for a long time had a lot of control over my consciousness. But then as I became more and more aware of it and consciously committed to transforming it and not fighting it, because as you know, when you fight against something, you generally only strengthen it, but rather choosing to dance with it and try to learn about it and then work to transform it so that it actually turns around and helps me, that's where the power is. And so I invite you and other listeners to take a look at that Transform Fear document and see if you can't get in touch with what your core wounding, what your core challenges are. And that's where the power is on an individual level. And then by being open and sharing openly, as I'm sharing with you right now about my own core wounding, sharing that with other people, it inspires them to be more open. Oh, it's okay to talk about the bad parts of myself? Yes, I welcome it. I want to share that with you so that we can support each other in transforming. That's when it spreads out, you know, and it touches that interconnectedness, touches the collective consciousness, and it's like ripples going out that gradually grow into waves, which eventually transform, you know, everything.
A specific tool to identify what your core challenge was?
There are some pretty simple tools on that page. Basically, I've done a lot of personal growth workshops, and in some of these workshops, they do work just like this, and they'll use different terms, whether it's core challenge, core issue, whatever you want to call it. And I basically consulted with a number of people from those workshops, workshop leaders, it was thanks to them and thanks to some personal friends who I worked and tested out with on a number of people, and we've continually refined it over the years. So And I'm not saying it is the be-all, end-all, but I think it's got some great information in just 2 pages that can help almost anybody to identify some of the core issues within themselves. And we also have, right next to that link, you will find one that says life purpose. Because right next to that is then getting clear on what your life intentions are and your life purpose. And I mentioned right in the beginning, for me, it's about a deep commitment to doing what's best for all of us at all times. That is my the full life intention. My core one is I will do my best to choose what's best for all of us. And now for each person, it may be different. But we've got a page that's a find life purpose and intentions. And it helps, it's a guide. And again, it's about finding it in yourself, but it gives all sorts of examples and ways to go in and get clear. Because when you're clear on your intention in life and on your purpose in life, boom, you will start moving ahead powerfully and quickly. Whereas those who aren't clear are often going to be buffeted by all of the forces out there because they're not moving with a clear direction.
That's a big part of getting into the conscious flow of things, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think, Nicole, you have some amazing life stories that you could share about that.
Oh, yeah, a few. Funny, because I've had to be more comfortable with kind of coming out with all of those things. And as a journalist, I'll tell you, that was against the conditioning originally as well.
Not supposed to do that, right?
Oh, no. You don't have opinions or feelings about
it. Not supposed to share yourself.
No, you don't become the story. No,
that's right. Well, and you know, there is a balance there. Like on wantoknow.info, although there's a few pages that actually describe a few of the things that I've been through, they're kind of tucked away in corners because that's not what the website is about. Whereas there are more personal stories on the web of love, and I do think there is absolutely an important place for personal stories, and then there's a time when it's not appropriate.
Absolutely. But I think that's where that's where the power is in the transformation.
Yes.
And it's where the power is, because it's the direct experience. You're not just reading about stuff or looking at stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, having yet someone else tell you about what is, right?
In fact, on the Transformation Team website, we're going to have a big part where everybody's going to get to share their personal transformation story. And so that each person who's a member, you can go and read their transformation story. And I can guarantee you almost every one of them is going to be deeply inspiring.
Well, you know, I've always said this is the ultimate reality show, consciousness trip.
Absolutely.
The stuff that's happening to people, and the you know, when you start to question your reality, well, it gets really interesting, really.
Oh, absolutely. And you start realizing that, for me, the more I know, in a way, the less I know.
Oh,
I do more, know more. My knowledge has increased leaps and bounds. And yet, when you ask me the deepest questions, I honestly don't know the answers. But it's not important, because I'm clear on my intention, and my intention just keeps moving me powerfully forward.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we start out unconsciously thinking we know
Everything
about what our world is.
Oh, my arrogance to tell you I knew everything.
I mean, it's really crazy when you think about
it. Absolutely.
We only know things, or think we know things, because we've been told it, conditioned it, you know, media,
yes,
school, parents, right?
Absolutely.
Those that have gone before us. So we've got it all figured out. And
that's
else,
right.
Crazy, because that's not what we were told. Hello.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's
very important that we find balance. It's very easy to get caught up. I often would get caught up in exploring the cover-ups and going down some of those deep, dark alleys and going, oh, that is so gross, you know, and that is so wrong. And I got so obsessed at times with that, and yet I knew I was obsessed, and I would work to really, that was one of my challenges, that wasn't my core issue, but that was a sort of another issue that was really important to work on in this work. And I encourage people not to get overly caught up in exploring the cover-ups and who's behind what. That has to be balanced with, guess what, I'm behind all of this too. I'm playing a role in all of this too. And how I choose to see things, how I choose to perceive what happens in my life, has a huge impact not only on me, but all those around me.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is indeed one of the side effects. If people are at the beginning of this journey, you know, especially if they've been on sort of the light side and they're just kind of sticking their toe in the water, that absolutely can happen. I don't
know. Oh, yes.
People will send me a link, and next thing I know, 3 days have gone by.
Yep.
You're going, oh, my God.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
And but being able to stay conscious through that, that's the key, you know?
and to realize that, to me, there's always hope. I mean, this the reason I've been able to do this work is I absolutely have no doubt that we will transform it. Whether in this lifetime or the next, we absolutely will transform everything.
I believe that, too. I believe that, too, because we are waking up. It's already happening.
Absolutely. And there's so many inspiring things happening. If you get caught up in the conspiracy things, you start seeing that less and less. And if you look for the amazing transformation things happening and ask to see them, guarantee you'll get in touch with them.
I believe that. You know, it's normal to get caught up in it periodically, I think.
Yeah, but yeah, sometimes you have to let it happen because I just got to know this. And
yeah.
You got to go there sometimes.
And to go there, just, you know, recently someone sent me a link. If anyone is checking us out, do it from a conscious perspective. Somebody sent me that link to Alex Jones, I think, his Bohemian Grove footage.
Right.
Good God.
Right.
That one got me for about 3 days, and I'm sending out the links to people. But, you know, other people were freaking out. What are you looking at that for? But I had to know that that was going on. Just
sure.
So I could kind of put it in my little file folder and go, okay, nut jobs, all right, and move on.
And guess what? I have a very good friend who's a member of Bohemian Grove, and I've met another man who I got to ask some questions of who's a member. And it's not necessarily what you think it is.
Wow.
Ron Johnson is one of the best media reporter people out there. And look at Ron Johnson's book, Them, which he went in with Alex Jones. When that video footage was taken, Ron Johnson was right there with him. And Ron Johnson had a totally different take on the whole thing. And not that it's some benign, just fun club gathering. And Ron Johnson saw that there's disturbing things. But Alex Jones is always looking for conspiracy and not often looking for inspiration.
No, exactly. And
I support him. He's bringing out important information.
Yeah, he's got his own agenda and perspective, right?
Yeah.
And that's obvious in the way that everything. But I kept watching the actual footage of inspiration into Bohemian Grove and thinking, okay, why would they be doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And trying to come up with my own perspective, and I couldn't come up with too much good stuff. So,
well, read the book Them by John Watson. It's so worth reading, and it's because he does one of the very few people who can balance this stuff and present it to you actually with some wry humor.
And that's, you know, that I think is where the leading edge of this transformation is, with people like you and I and people that I'm talking to on News for the Soul, where you can go in and look at things like that and hold the higher energy.
Yes.
That's where the leading edge of this whole movement is.
Swami Byandananda is another great guy who does work like that.
Mm-hmm. And that's the real warriors of the light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to, you know, because it's easy to be all positive and spiritual when you're having a good day and you've got food and no one's trying to kill you or whatever, you know.
Right.
But when things are going on and we're bombing Iraq or whatever we're doing, you know, do it then.
Yep.
And in the midst of whatever is going on, hold the higher energy. So I think that's the real work.
And it's not just the higher energy. It's also about holding balance. That, yes, there is darkness, but the darkness can be an invitation to growth. And, yes, there is light, but let's not get stuck there and forget to look at the darkness. Because by ignoring that, we're feeding it.
Very true. Very true, exactly. Like you said earlier, what you resist persists.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And usually in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, it's been an interesting talk. I want to give out all of these websites again. The hour has flown by.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so wanttoknow.info is the main cover-up research website. Web of Love, go there intermittently as you're reading it.
And there are some interlinks. Weboflove.org.
Webofloves.org. That's the counterpoint, balance place, and excellent job. And I hope that we can talk again. Fred Burke.
Thanks so much, Nicole. It's been great talking with you and our listeners.
Absolutely. Thanks for being on the show. We will, on this note, be actually talking to David Icke in about a week. And so you can go to newsforthesoul.com and find out the information about that. And all the other goodies coming up very soon. If you missed any of the show or any of our shows ever, I have them all archived on newsforthesoul.com, all free, all the time, all the way back to 9/11. So go there and enjoy. And, hey, send me an email, and we'll talk to you Monday. I think it's Monday. Go to the web and find out, newsforthesoul.com. See you then, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
This has been News for the Soul with Nicole Whitney. Visit us anytime online at www.newsforthesoul.com, where you can listen to all our previously aired shows at any time and so much more. Have a great week, and remember, what you focus on expands.